Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You're listening to Power Athlete Radio, a podcast dedicated to empowering your performance every damn day. Join former NFL pro and Power Athlete founder John Wellborn as he dissects the greatest minds in strength, conditioning, and more. So whether your goal is to be the hammer, destroy mediocrity, or simply move the dirt, you've come to the right place. Now with the warm-up done, let the gains begin.
Hey, Power Athlete Nation, I want you to tune in for a powerful podcast with Mr. Arash Safwani. We take Arash's journey in terms of weight loss. And when I first met Arash, he was pretty heavy, 300 plus pounds, down from 355 pounds at his heaviest. And we go into not only the journey and his moment of self-discovery when he stepped on the scale and saw how heavy he was and realized that what he was doing as an athlete and the powerlifting wasn't necessarily translating to what he thought it was in health and how he was viewing himself. And then the journey that he went on in terms of losing weight and where he sits today and really his progression in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and working with the team. And more importantly, just finding a tribe of individuals that believed in him that would help him on his journey in terms of getting in shape and reclaiming his life and becoming the person he is today. So I'm excited to have seen the transformation and been a part of it. So we get into a little bit of it, and it's an excellent talk. I'm happy to hear him, and I'm so proud of what he was able to accomplish. Mr. Arash Safwani. Dude, thanks for coming back to Power Athlete Radio. Thanks. Really appreciate you being here.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate your friendship, your mentorship. I'm grateful for every opportunity to spend some time with you.
Yeah, well,
that's why I hug you every single time. Well, it's because I want to exchange my gut microbiome.
Well, the fact that I've been around you so much, I'm interested to see to get your gut tested to see what I was able to give you.
They're like, how did he get all the biota for mayonnaise? That's so crazy. Let's talk some training, John.
Let's do it. Just to tell you, of anybody I've had on the podcast in recent years, you've gotten by far the best response. Everybody seems to enjoy you. I just think it's because they don't know you that well.
And it's really crazy, but I never get a haircut before these things. I'm always super messed up before I come in. So,
Well, how will you get that done?
I'll fix it. Okay.
All right. So I'd really like to dive in on your transformation. Like, you used to be heavy. I mean, you were big at one point, what, 360 something?
355.
Okay.
Faithful day, January 1st, 2019.
355.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So you used to be heavy and you went on this journey to losing weight. Mm-hmm. Can you describe a little bit about that journey and more importantly, like the difficulty and the change in mindset and what really was the catalyst that pushed you over? Because when I met you, 295, 300, you were kind of dipping around. And then, you know, we went into our 12-week aggressive cycle,
yeah,
which really seemed to like catapult you. But you, even though the macros and everything were laid out, you had to embrace it and really do it and be hungry and suffer through it. And I told you exactly what would happen and you hit it. So like it would have been easy just to be like, fuck it, I ain't doing it. But what was the change in mindset?
I think, I remember because I took like a New Year's trip with my girlfriend at the time to like a small town in California. And we went and did a...
Where'd you go?
It was called Sonora, California. Yeah. And they had a polar plunge for the New Year. And I remember getting in the ice bath or in the lake. It was like a frozen lake. And I was able to stay in there longer than everybody. Well, no duh, because I was like 350 at the time. So I didn't even feel cold at all. And yeah. And I just remember coming back because at that time I was like powerlifting and, mostly just bench press. But I remember having to go to the gym and I remember there was a scale there and I got on the scale and I was like, oh my God, I just hit like a weight PR, you know? And I just didn't see myself as being a guy that weighed 355, you know? Yeah. You just never think that that's what you're going to weigh. And I'm not going to say I felt like a ton of disgust, but it was kind of like a am I taking years off my life right now? It was a sense of urgency of I got to make a change. And so the mindset shift was more of an audit. Like I started taking like a personal audit of all the things that I wanted to actually do. And I told myself, well, one, I don't want to be powerlifting forever. Sure. You know, this was just kind of like a bridge to keep me occupied until I could go back to judo and actually do martial arts. So I said, you know what? Fun's over. You know, let's figure out a way to get there. But also too, am I actually hungry when I eat? That was the second question. It was like, I don't remember being hungry for 2 years.
Yeah.
I was not hungry for 2 years and I ate anyway.
Well, it's just because it becomes automatic.
Yeah.
Like you're like breakfast, lunch, dinner. And in your mind, you're thinking, I got to get 3 to 4 meals. And mm-hmm. it's just kind of like one of those things where it gets dark and next thing you know, you're like, oh, it's time for dinner.
Yeah. So, so then that was my second question to myself. And the third question to myself was, what do you want to be able to do for the longest time possible? And I was like, dude, I can't go a day without working on or actively doing martial arts. And because of that, it propelled me to want to change my lifestyle, but also my diet. So then I got a diet coach, actually Hani Rambod's wife.
For those of you guys that don't know, that Hani Rambod coaches Sebum and also Hadid.
Yeah. So she has a supplement store called Nutrition Palace, very Persian name, mm-hmm. and it's all done up super Persian. Yeah. I love it there. Yeah. And, you know, I just followed the protocol there and it helped me drop the first 30 pounds. Well, that's not true because the first 15 was my diet, which was 2 pounds of pot roast a day and as many Brussels sprouts as I wanted to eat. So I did like inadvertently Atkins.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know what? This is not working out. My girlfriend's going to leave me because I'm a fart bomb.
Yeah.
And,
sounds about right.
Yeah.
And story checks out.
I needed professional help. It wasn't that expensive either. It was about $300 for like 12 weeks of professional help. And it wasn't stuff that I didn't already know, but I did need somebody to hold me accountable. So I think the mindset shift was easy as soon as I figured out what exactly I wanted for my life. So it's a brutally honest audit. It hurts, especially because you're looking at yourself and you wonder why I didn't do this sooner. But the pain is alleviated by the work.
Do you feel that you just kind of slip into it one day and like, you know, like you're looking in the mirror and you can't notice like a day-to-day change. And next thing you know, you step on the scale and you're 350 and you're like, where did this happen?
Yeah, I feel like the comfort of the food and then the fact that I had my first long-term relationship with a girl, you know, so I felt it was easy to drift into that comfort zone of, hey, I'm being validated for my behavior. You know, she's not saying anything, so why do I care? And, you know, I was still working out, so to speak. But yeah, I think the comfort was the comfort of knowing how I'm training for the day and eating and then knowing I have somebody nice waiting for me at home. That was enough for me to just fall into that trap. But yeah, I think the first thing that I noticed was not getting pumps. So I wasn't able to get pumped up anymore. So I could do like 20 bicep curls. I could do a really heavy weight that would make my muscles fail, but I couldn't feel a pump.
Oh
yeah.
Why is that?
I think it may have been the fat balance. So fat affecting the hormones and then.
Yeah. You think your hormones were off?
Yeah. I think the hormones were off at that point. Like I tipped the scale, somewhere in the hormonal balance, but that was a weird feeling. Like I would be even on a heavy bench set, just not be able to feel my muscles.
Wow.
Yeah. It just felt like bone and sinew moving the bar, but muscles not actually getting pumped up.
So you made the first jump, let's say you were 355, you got down to 320 something.
Yeah.
And then you had kind of, and then you started working with Hani Roberts.
Farnaz Tavakoli, yeah.
Okay, I'm not even going to butcher that name.
Dr. Naz.
All right, Dr. Naz. And she got you into what, close to 300?
Yeah, ballpark. And then I made I was able to run that on autopilot a little bit. And then I started training judo again. And then I made the move to Austin. And then that was the faithful change, you know, when I finally got to meet you. And then I was like, hey, John, you know, like I did this whole thing, but I feel like I need to pour gas on the fire. And you're like, all right, dude. well, where do you want to go? And that was not the answer I expected. I expect you to be like, yeah, here you go, fat fuck. Like, take this and run it. But you were just like, where do you want to go? Yeah. And I thought that was such an important question, because in my mind, I was just like, as far as we can. But you were like, all right, texted me two photos. And you texted me a photo of like your absolute leanest. And you're like, okay, this is me. It's 7.5%.
Yeah, so, yeah, seven and change.
Yeah, you're like, hey, this is me, 7 and change, body fat percentage. And there wasn't a day or an hour that went by that I didn't think about tacos.
Yeah.
And then you're like, here's me at 12% body fat. I was a much happier man. And I was like, okay, I'm leaning more to the picture on the right. So,
well I think people always have this idea of like, hey, you know, when I'm sub 10% body fat, but there's a lot of work that goes into it.
Sure.
And then also the counterbalance for performance. You know, you want to be able to do jujitsu, you want to train, you want to be able to be pretty active. The leaner I got, the less useful I was. Mm-hmm. Like I wasn't able to train as much. I felt really tired, cold, and hungry all the time. And like, it's really hard to motivate yourself to get up and bust ass and train when you're like, God, I'm so fucking hungry. We interrupt this episode with a shameless self-promotion. Are you pushing through performance roadblocks caused by pain or janky movement mechanics? Knock the rust off with our movement health courses, used by thousands of athletes worldwide, from average Joes to MVPs. Our courses give you the tools to assess and fix yourself so you can get back to breaking necks and cashing checks. Not convinced? Get a taste of how our courses can help you by enrolling in a free sample today. Head to powerathletehq.com and search courses from the menu. Now back to the show.
That was the funny thing is like when I started the first phase of the diet protocol that you sent me, I kept telling you, I was like, dude, I feel cold. I feel cold in Texas. Like I would wake up fingers and toes cold. I was like, is it because I'm so low carb on this day or X day or whatever? And you're like, yeah, I think that's just part of the process, buddy. And then at the same time, we were doing the hardest training possible.
Yeah. It was hot.
It was hot. We're, conditioning, lifting. And then in the morning I was training with the Savages, Philippe and Victor. So I was getting beat up there, beat up in the weight room. And then getting beat up in the kitchen, like having to weigh out my rice. It's so depressing how much 6 ounces of rice actually is.
Yeah. Have you ever tried to look at what a tablespoon of peanut butter is? It's not even worth it by having peanut butter in the house.
I don't even buy peanut butter anymore because I already know.
Yeah, because a tablespoon of peanut butter is worthless. Like nobody wants this.
Peanut butter and Nutella, absolute jihad against your diet.
There was a funny joke that if you want to destroy your diet, make sure you have a bunch of like almonds and nuts and nut butters in your house.
Yeah.
Because what will happen is you'll take a handful and you're like, oh, that seems like an ounce or two. And next thing you know, 40 ounces later, you're like, oh, where did I get these extra 3,000 calories?
Yeah. And the oils. I always tell people that too is, because when I started finally making a ton of progress, you know, people were asking me, hey, what's the magic? What did you do? And I was like, probably one of the most difficult things was to realize how much fat was in my food. So like, like a tablespoon of olive oil is like the size of a thumb, like the end of your thumb. And that's like 160 calories.
Yeah.
So people are just wonton spreading that around their pan, not realizing that they're taking in an extra 450 calories. And yeah, duh. Like that's... that will make a huge dent in the deficit you're trying to create. So I think that was a hard thing. But like going back to the first thing is like really auditing all the things that you do and whether it's in your best interest to do them.
So what I've found for dieting, you need a start date and a finish date. Mm-hmm. Like the program I gave you was 12 weeks. I knew that we can run it for 12 weeks, a week longer, and it doesn't work. Mm. You can keep that mindset for about 12 weeks and then you need like a taper and ability to kind of come off and you can kind of run some variations of it again. But if you don't really hit that 12 weeks, I don't know if it ever is going to work the same way. And I told you got one chance, but I also psychologically set it up that way. I'm like, this was only going to work once. You got 12 weeks to hit it. All you got to do. And it plays into the psychology so well when you hit it 100% and crushed it out. And I couldn't have been more proud of what you came out because not only were you doing the training, because when I met you, you were blue belt.
Yeah.
And so I've known you through all your purple belt, and then you recently got a brown belt, which is a big deal.
So power athlete lineage.
Yeah. But I remember one of the first times we trained together, I went to class at Shanji's and you showed up and totally sat on me for, 30 minutes. And
north-south belt.
Oh my God. I couldn't get out from underneath you. It was awful. And, but that change in mindset, you had to kind of do it the old fashioned way, which is you just had to suffer through it and there had to be kind of an end goal. Whereas now with the GLP-1s, mm-hmm. you see a lot of people losing weight that aren't having to mentally suffer, but it is doing behavior modification. Have you met people that have lost weight, using the GLP-1s?
My brother.
This episode of Power Athlete Radio is powered by Train Heroic, the most immersive strength training app experience on the market. We've built an online training business by partnering with Train Heroic to deliver all of our world-class training programs like Jack Street, Hammer, Field Strong, and Grindstone. To learn which Power Athlete training program best suits your goals, head to powerathletehq.com/training. And if you're a coach looking to build a business with the best training tech in the business, head to trainheroic.com/powerathletehq. And now back to the show.
My brother, he struggled during the pandemic. I think he fell into the trap that a lot of people fell into, which is like, where do we go now? What is my work going to look like? And I think that led to a lot of excessive calories just from, a population standpoint, right? And I think I don't want to disparage people for using that as a momentum, because I know that at every benchmark I surpassed during the, quote unquote transformation, is that every time I reached that benchmark, I gained a little bit more momentum and I had more faith in my process.
Yeah.
So if that's going to get them to the first benchmark, amazing, because it's just going to push you to go further and further and further. And now he seems like to be having a great time. I think he's lost over 40 pounds.
Wow.
And he doesn't even have the same lifestyle as me. No. So he does like to be active, but I would say he's more on the general population training protocol where it's 2 to 3 times a week, random Pilates class,
Sure.
LA lifestyle.
Sure.
Hanging out.
For you, the fact that you had something to train for and felt that there was like a, physique and kind of a composition change of your body, mm-hmm. which made you more useful in terms of jiu-jitsu. Was that a part of a motivating factor that there was something to get in shape for? There was something bigger than what you were just looking in the mirror?
Man, you and I have a similar struggle, the knee flexion, right? So I was just like, man, if I can just lose a little bit and get a little bit of stress off of my knee, I'll be able to get into that position better, or like a knee cut or something like that, yeah. a bane of my existence. Because I just bending the knee right now is just not in the cards. And so I just said, I'll be able to move around better. And who knows, like I might actually be good at this. And sure enough, yeah, I was doing things that I couldn't do before just from being able to drop
your flexibility over the course of like the 2 years we trained went from like decent to incredible. Hmm. Like I remember there was one point we were rolling recently. I remember I went to staple your leg and I had your one leg and I literally went to like trying to split you to cut a knee cut. And like it literally went right to the ground and was stuck. And I was like, oh shit. Like normally I can feel tension and somebody, and it'll kind of make a move or they get a little stressed.
Yeah.
That's a good sign, because I know people go to get me in those positions. And when you're super flexible, especially as a big guy and people don't expect it, it's always kind of a good card to play.
Yeah. But the funny thing is I was running into my own gut before, because I had a gut. So then I would be flexible enough to get into that position, but then the pressure on my own gut didn't allow me to withstand, the pressure being put on me.
So the rotation improved.
Flexibility improved. I would say hip flexor strength was a big part of it. So that probably alleviated a lot of the knee strain. And we know from the dead bugs is the hip flexors are usually the first things to shake, in all populations. And so being able to get the hip flexor strong enough so I can actively pull my knee to my chest and retain a guard, that was huge too. So not only was I confident in how flexible I was, but also how much active range of motion I have.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Then buy one, get one free on our full line sale of tender Tyson chicken with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So a lot of benefit there, but going back to the GLP ones, it's I don't think it's cool to bash people for starting off their journey.
Everybody's on their own journey. How you get on that path, as long as you get on that path. Yeah. Because I have to admit, before I had Doc Parsley on the podcast where we talked about the GLP ones, I kind of bought into a little bit of it. I'm like, is this cheating? How come people don't have the same programming? Why can't they do it themselves? Now they're going to need this pharmaceutical assistance. And after sitting with Parsley, and it talked about behavior modification and what it does for glucagon and really behave, like remodeling the brain, and pain sensors and going in for reward sensors. I mean, it just was fascinating to the point where I was like, man, this actually feels like a pretty good thing, especially for people that have constantly hit the wall where they can't lose weight. Now they have something that's helping them get over the hump and at least get them started.
Yeah, because you're taking somebody from, traditionally we don't view it as a sickness, but they are in an ill state at the moment. And so if you can get them out of that pain to getting them moving, and then now you got a carrot on a stick. Now you have them. I got a little bite of the carrot. I lost 15 pounds. Great. All right, let's keep going. Now what else can I do? So now they're more curious. It's kind of like when you start at a job, they give you small tasks and then you're rewarded for those tasks and then you keep moving up and then you take on more and more responsibility. But then you also take more interest in your job and you're wondering ways that you can improve it. And I think that's in small part how most people think about weight loss is they start thinking about, all right, what vitamins am I taking? Because I know I'm dieting heavy. So what should I take for a vitamin? How should I be sleeping? Oh, if I sleep 8 hours a night, I lose more fat. So if I sleep less, I get hungry in the morning. Oh, that's why that works. Because, days that you don't get a lot of sleep, the next day you're going to want to eat all the chocolate in the world.
Have you noticed the way people treat you is different?
Yes, I have a hotter girlfriend now.
But I mean, that's always a good one. Kudos to you. But think about this. Let's say you run into somebody you haven't seen in a while.
Yeah.
And they're like, all of a sudden they're making a big deal. Like, oh my God. And you're like thinking to yourself, was like, did I look that bad before that you're making this big a deal about it now?
I think you get, I do think you get disregarded for sure as like incapable.
Lazy.
Not included. Because, even though I was in martial arts my whole life, they became a point where, I'd gotten so large that I was, if my buddies were like, hey, we're going to do a hike at Runyon, I just wasn't in the group chat. He's not making it up there. I couldn't bring it in my brain because even before that, I'd done a ton of hard training in high school wrestling, a little bit of college, and even in judo, right? So to view myself as somebody that couldn't participate, I think that was the main thing. Most people were just like, yeah, that he's not for that right now, so we're not going to include him. So that was a hard thing to. So now it seems like, oh yeah, Arash, we're going to go do Pilates on whenever. I'm not like super open to taking up my mornings like that. I you know.
But if somebody asks you to do it,
I'm going to do it. Like, yeah. I feel up to it. Oh, we're going to play a pickup game. Yeah, I'm up to it. Yeah, you know, before it was like, I'm too in pain. I just can't move fast enough. I'm incapable. So I think, yeah, people view you in a different light. But I think it's mostly just the inclusion, you know, and, you know, lifestyle choices too, right? People are judgmental, whether we like to believe it or not. You want to assume everybody's for the good, but they do look at you first impression and view you in a different light.
Does it make you a little more kind and a little more engaging if you meet people that are heavy?
Empathetic for sure.
Yeah.
Because I was there, right? So, yeah, I know the path, and I took the harder route. I mean, obviously, if I look back, I'm like, I don't regret it, but also, man, that was a lot of mileage.
So, yeah, but I think when you came out of the flame, the person that I first met is not the same person a year later, 6 months later. Like when you came through that flame, like the bravado increased. I mean, like just everything about you kind of magnified up. And what's kind of funny is as a big dude, you got to kind of learn to have a sense of humor. Yeah. You got a little self-deprecating and this, yeah. You got to be at least.
Fat kid syndrome. Like when you grow up fat, you know, that's like.
You got to be funny because you can't be an asshole and be fat. Then nobody's going to want to hang out with you.
Yeah.
So you develop your personality and your sense of humor, and you understand how to like interpersonal relationships.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, you get in good shape, and people are like, man, you got a great personality. And you're like, yeah, because I had to work on it for a long time.
Yeah. Because otherwise you couldn't play, right? It's like, I forgot the original question, but.
I asked you about the change in the mindset in terms of losing that weight and going through it. And more importantly, like, what do you think that that process has taught you?
Perseverance. Yeah, I think persevering through tasks I didn't think were important before, but for instance, the zone 2, I think that was huge. Just having the discipline to get up and do my 20 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever it was on the day.
Yeah.
Be honest with myself when I'm weighing out my food for the first time. That's a tough one. Because you're just like, 7.6 is the same as 7 ounces or whatever. So
I do that all the time.
So that was a skill. I think just in general, just knowing that I could learn how to be a different version of me. I think that was a big one, because you've talked about it before, about crystallization, like the men crystallize around their 30s and stuff like that.
Yeah, late 20s or 30s.
They don't think that they can change into a different person, that they're pigeonholed into whatever it is that they built themselves up to be. And I think that was the biggest thing that it taught me. I was like, all right, dude, I pulled a Jared from Subway, you know, in terms of weight loss. And like, what else is next? Like, I can learn anything.
What about having people around you? Like, you know, you were, you know, training with, you know, Shanji and Victor and Philippe and the guys, and, you know, coming here, like you had community, you had somebody to lean on, and you had people that were around you that believed in you. I feel that's a powerful catalyst for it, and like almost like you don't want to let people down, and they're kind of not judging you, but they're monitoring your progress and they're in the ride with you.
Surely. I think community was huge. I had like a really, really big reservoir of self-hatred though, so that like I could have done it alone personally, but I don't think that's no way to celebrate any kind of commitment to anything. You know, it feels much better when people are around.
Well, everybody was rooting for you. I know Shanji was talking about it. I mean, Victor and Philippe and everybody, like, oh, I can't wait for Rosh to get in shape. He's going to be he's going to be a better training partner for us. Yeah. So like in their own selfish way, they were like propping you up. They're like, oh, when he gets in good shape, we're going to be able to beat him up more. So we'll make better training.
Oh, shit.
And that always made me laugh. And I was like, so wait a minute, do you want him to get in shape for his health and for him? And they're like, no, he's going to be easier to triangle when he's little. So Philippe told me.
Yeah. It did get easier, unfortunately. But yeah, the community piece is huge. I think no endeavor is worth doing solo, in my opinion. Like you want to either help people get to their goals, or you want people to be a part of your goals. So you can achieve a ton of different stuff solo, but if you've got nobody to raise a glass next to you when it's all over, you know. What was that song? The Fast and the Furious song? Danza Kuduro.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that song comes on, you got to be with your boys.
Yeah. And then you're like, yeah, we just get done on the heist.
Yeah, there you go. So it always feels better with other people around you. So yeah, the community piece is huge. But you know, I don't think that you necessarily need to start. You'd be like, oh, I got to find a really big team to be a part of first. There's a lot of stuff that you can do on your own first. Yeah. And then when you feel juiced up about it, the process, then you got to go find the gym that speaks to you or the community that speaks to you. For instance, like the power athlete community is really dope. I remember just like being in the proximity of power athlete made me privy to like all these cool people that train jiu-jitsu all over the country that are just like checking in on my journey. And I'm like, oh, nice. Like I got people behind me, you know, and I'm for them too. So
I always go back to the Joey Diaz one where he's like, you don't need a lot of motherfuckers. You just need two or three good motherfuckers and you could take over a country. And I'll get Jacob to cut in that exact clip right here. Oh, but shit. That Joey Diaz one, he's like, you don't need a lot of motherfuckers. You just need two or three motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Joey Diaz, absolute comedy legend. A guy. Legend. And still probably one of the funnier dudes I've ever heard.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, there's a story with, I think it was Britt Kreischek calls him and is like, Tom Segura, I guess, like slipped him some drugs.
Yeah, yeah. And he that was Ari Shaffir. Dude.
Yeah.
Ari Shaffir slipped him ecstasy at his own house.
Yeah, so he calls Joey and he comes over there and he's like, lock the door. We're going to see the devil stick. And he like goes out there and he's like, give it to me. And he takes it. He's like, we're all going to die. Nobody's dying on my watch.
He rode it with him.
Yeah.
He rode it with him.
Dude, he's the ultimate ride or die.
Yeah.
Well, dude, that's great. Asked and answered. So thanks for tuning in. Another episode of Power Athlete Radio. Hey there, Power Athlete Nation. Big shout out to all the heavy hitters who stuck around till the final whistle. If you've been soaking in the knowledge bombs and epic tales we've been dropping for free, here's your chance to be a game changer. Swing by kofi.com/powerathlete and toss a few bucks our way to keep the podcast fueled and firing on all cylinders. That's kofi.com/powerathlete. Your support makes a difference. See ya.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.